On the way to the studio, I noticed people's faces turned upwards, many faces looking upward in the same direction, the same part of the sky. I looked, too, looked for a sign, hoping for something valuable to report on this microphone, a sign in the heavens. It was a sign, all right, written in airplane smoke, squeezed out like confection on the blue. An advertisement paid by a gentleman who sells fur coats to the ladies. There was another sign this morning, a new one, a literal sign, repeated through the New York streets. It showed an arrow and the text read simply, United Nations. It made nice reading. UNO convenes in the Bronx tomorrow in a new bright flush of hope. And the good word from Washington is that 59 organizations held a mass emergency meeting in our capital to protest the possibility of the military getting its hands on peacetime atom power. Excuse me, that sound? The ticking noise? That's the bomb. The bomb I'm holding in my hands, of course. You're holding it in yours, too. Yes, I said bomb. A time bomb ticking the time away. Yes, I said it last week. Sure, it's a sound effect. But just suppose I stop the sound effect, this little fraud, this mimic threat of total atom war. Suppose I turned it off, and yet the sound, this ticking, went right on and on. It won't, of course. I can turn it off, I think. There. And the real thing, can I turn that off? I can't, you can't, but we can. Every hour in the hour, the man who sells you toothpaste or patent hair oil uses the same patent line, so perhaps you'll forgive me for one sentence spoken more than once, since it concerns our children and their chances in this world. I bring you now a sort of children's story. At least children always like it. We all learned it under the Christmas tree. You know it well. You'll read it again after this. It's a tale of adventure, of a great sea voyage. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your obedient servant, Orson Welles, reading you today a cheerful story with a happy ending. It's about how the world almost came to an end. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. In the selfsame day entered Noah and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Until in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Well, that's the end of the story. A lot has happened since then. A lot's happened in the last few thousand years. A lot's happened in the last few days. In the scattered ruins of antiquity, in the scattered pages of the Sunday paper on your living room floor, you can trace the fears and follies of the sons of Noah. In the desert are the unmarked bones of empires, and the cities rot in the jungles without names. The thing we call history is the catalog of wars, a calendar of the seasons of sin. What we salvage from the ashes of war is the thing we call wisdom. Wisdom was a fire to heat a cave, a fire for a kitchen and a forge. But the fire was not always wisdom. We have tied wise men to the stake, made bonfires of our books, and fed our children to the flames. What we salvage from the ashes, the thing we call wisdom, has brought us now the final secret of fire making. With that secret, we can build a hearth, big enough, warm enough for the whole planet family. We've already made a bomb. The bomb was the first thing we did with our secret. It may be the last thing we do. 150 days the waters prevailed upon the earth when old Noah was the captain of all living things, and then God remembered Noah and made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assaged. Will God call up another wind, A wind to snuff out the fires. God has made no such promise. God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I do set my bow in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the covenant that is between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. God will not curse the ground any more for man's sake. We have his word for it. And between the sun and the moist breath of the flood is the rainbow to remind God of his promise. A contract. The author of creation signing his name to it across the air in all the colors of the earth. We say there's treasure at the end of the rainbow, but no treasure is so precious as that word given at the rainbow's beginning. What of our word? We haven't given it. We say our prayers, some of us, some of the time, offering repentance in exchange for peace, bidding virtues for victory, bargaining. We build a house for promises, a church, and presently we blow it up in the workaday occupation of murder. God will curse the ground no more for man's sake, but man reserves the right to curse the ground for man's sake. It's our prerogative. Has been since first we knew that we were naked, life or death. We are given a choice in the matter, and we are capable of doubting that we were given anything. This doubt is the denial of God, which is the old-fashioned phrase for the denial of life. If we deny life, we deny the choice between life and death, and we renounce life when we renounce the choice. And this brings us back to the beginning. And in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the earth will be without form again, and void, and darkness will be upon the face of the deep in the ending. If there is an ending, if we choose it that way. The choice being ours. Okay. Is the sermon over yet? I hear the question coming back at me, a big weary sigh. Is Preacher Wells out of the pulpit? Sorry, before we quit, we must have the collection. That's right, we've got to pass the plate. Got any spare silver? Please buy a telegram with it, a telegram. Why are the president or the senators Barclay, McMahon, or Hill? Tell them you don't like the joker in the Vandenberg formula for the control of atomic energy, the artful dodge by which the military can get that control. Tell them only civilians can put atomic energy to civilian usefulness, that only civilians can keep a democracy open for business, a democracy being, among other things, a government in which the military is the servant of the people. Atomic energy should also be the servant of the people. If the military get control of that energy, they can get control of our government, and then the people will be the servants of the military. Wire Washington what you think about that. Or write. Spend a postage stamp worth of encouragement on President Truman's morale. Senator McMahon can use a good word, and Algernon Barclay and Lister Hill need your advice. Atomic energy, that's a clumsy phrase for you, but we're stuck with it. Go and pour yourself a glass of water. Go get your own water, Preacher Wells, you may be saying, or if it's water you want, go jump in the lake. Well, those who went for the water will oblige me, please, by looking at it and considering the flood. That's an awful lot of water, the flood, but for me anyway, it's easier to picture a global ocean than a global Hiroshima. Take a drink of water. You can't live without the stuff, remember, and think of rain. The blessing of rain which nourishes the scanty crust of living earth. I'm writing it in my copybook that the blessing of rain is God harnessing the flood. That from here on in, the blessing of peace is man harnessing the atom. Maybe it'll rain tomorrow in Washington or in the Bronx. Maybe a rainbow will stand in the clouds over the Senate building or show through the window in the gymnasium at Hunter College. If so, it won't mean anything special to the senators, the delegates. It won't mean anything new, at least, anything more recent than the Bible. A rainbow, that's just God reminding himself of a promise, reminding us children that we alone have dominion over the deluge. If we want to put an end to the world, we'll have to do it by ourselves. I don't think we will. But when things look bad, we must give up. And just because things look better today, we must take it easy. Our work's cut out for us. Hammer and saw, tooth and nail sometimes. And hammer and saw some more green timber and old makeshift things to fit that don't fit up. Mock up and make do. It's taking shape, though. Old Noah's dead and gone, but his family still knows how to carpenter. Noah's family can make another ark. Might be that's the reason God promised not to make another flood. Well, my time's up. Please join me next week. Till then, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.